I'm laying on a day bed in the front bedroom, say. And I'm about 10. And it is so hot and sweaty. And you can smell the oil refineries smelling like rotten cabbage. And just outside back of the vacant lots, beyond the alleys, outside of our home, were all these steel mills. And the air was always cloudy, filled with smoke. And laying on the daybed reading. You know how kids, especially boys, go through the whole reading stage. They read everything they can lay their hands on. I used to read the backs of Wheaties boxes. And I was going through the thing where I was reading all kinds of magazines like Daredevil Aces, Bill Barnes and his Air Circus, and Popular Mechanics. I love to read Popular Mechanics. You know, things like build a home glider for 25 cents. Send for the plans. I'm lying out there in that daybed just sweating away, and I'm reading my favorite magazine. It was the most fantastic escape literature, Field and Stream. What a magazine. It was about a totally different world from northern Indiana. It had nothing to do with northern. In fact, I don't think they've ever had a story about northern Indiana. What are you going to write? Hunting for beavers among the alleys? What are you going to write about it, see? I'm laying there reading Field and Stream. I used to get them when Mr. Anderson, three doors down, would throw them away. I'd find them back of his house in the garbage. I'm reading Field and Stream, and there was this place they always wrote about. They had these beautiful pictures, double-page pictures. You could see it with hills, great forests. Forests. There's no more exciting word to me. Forest. I was reading about this place all the time. And the name of it began to have the same meaning to me that Oz has. It was a completely mythical magic kingdom. Now when people say to you, Oz, Wonderland, wouldn't you like to walk along the yellow brick road? And you're hitchhiking on your way to the Emerald City, you know? Guy comes along in a Dodge. He says, I'm only going as far as Wonderland. You say, I'm going all the way on to Oz. Now, there is a place that always, even today, when I say it to myself, I get excited. It's just the name of it, doesn't it? It's because of those afternoons on that daybed. Smelling the refineries. And hearing the sound of the steel mill, the trucks going by. You could hear the click of the pool balls down at the Bluebird Pool. I'm reading about this place. It had rivers. Forest, real forest. And it had bears. Wonderland, Samarkand, Khartoum, these are magic names, Timbuktu, Maine, say it to yourself, Maine. Think about it, and look around where you are.
to spend your time, I'll tell you. You know, there must be about 5,000 versions of heaven. Everybody's got his own idea. I suspect some people's idea of heaven is a fantastic, enormous Howard Johnson. You know, where they got all 28 flavors. They're all there. Air conditioning is on all the time. And there's no line in front of the John. That is one version of heaven. And you are looking at my version of heaven. I am now casting a Finnish bass plug into the Skowhegan branch of the Kennebec River. Isn't that beautiful? This is one of the finest stretches of bass water in the entire state of Maine. And believe me, they've got great bass water in Maine. Look at that. Those lily pads over there. Now, I'll tell you this. Don't expect me to catch a fish. Nobody... Wait a minute. I think I have a weed, yeah. Nobody ever catches a fish when people are watching them. I'll tell you that right now. You know, my old man would flip if he saw me doing this. I mean, fishing in the Kennebec River in Maine. When I was a kid, one of the biggest moments of my life came when my old man asked me to go fishing with him. We lived in northern Indiana, and they didn't have anything there. I want to tell you, there was nothing but weeds, telephone poles, and oil refineries. And about 10 miles away from our home was this lake. What a lake. Cedar Lake. It was probably the biggest mud puddle in the United States. And it was actually a mud puddle. It had a thick growth of scum and algae that stretched from one shore to the next. And the bottom, Cedar Lake, was entirely paved with old Sears Roebuck tires, Standard Oil 5-gallon drums, 17,592,000 Budweiser cans. Wait a minute here. And the effluvia of 28 million dead frogs and newts. And you know, on a good night, when the wind was in the right direction, Cedar Lake could be smelled all the way up on the Canadian border, which was a good 600 miles north. Wait a minute here. And the old man, about every 2 or 3 weeks in the summertime, he and Harry Gertz, his buddy from the office, would get together and they would do a thing called fishing, which actually was an excuse for the men to get away from the women and go out and sit on this lake. And they had these rented rowboats. They were made out of, it was like lead. These rented rowboats, you'd rent them for $2 an hour, and he and Heine Gertz and Zudok and all the guys from the office at 2 o'clock in the morning would row out to the middle of Cedar Lake. And they'd sit out there with cane poles and minnows, and they had these buckets of beer which they would hang overboard from the rowboat. And of course, over the entire lake was this vast, humming black cloud of the angriest, meanest mosquitoes ever seen by the eye of man. And they'd sit among all these mosquitoes, Zudok, Gertz, the old man, a couple of other guys from the office, all night long. They'd just sit and drink beer and swat mosquitoes. Now, there was a rumor, incidentally, this lake was totally rimmed with places called the Dreamland Cafe. Down at the far end was the Rosebud Roller Rink. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, when they're sitting out there in their rented rowboat, you could hear the sounds of this organ playing Red Sails in the Sunset. And once in a while, you'd hear a fist fight break out in the Rosebud Cafe or the Dreamland or someplace. And you'd hear the sirens. It's fishing. And the old man would say, I'm getting up at dawn, see, which meant about, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, something like that. He said, I'm getting up at dawn, see. He says to me, I'm about 10. How'd you like to go fishing? Well, I mean, you know, fishing to me was, I dreamed of fishing. I mean, it was a big thing in my life. And so that Saturday night, we went down to Cedar Lake, and boy, the exciting smell. You could smell that water. And there was a rumor around that there were at least 75 uncaught crappies in that lake. Now, if you've never heard of a crappie, by the way, there is a fish by that name. I suggest you look it up in your dictionary. It's spelled the way you think it's spelled. There is a fish named crappie. Now, that fish is a fish designed to live in completely unlivable situations. The crappie lives among rotting car bodies. It lives among rotting out the tires. And its only goal in life is to occasionally commit suicide by hanging on the bottom of a cane pole. And these guys would sit out there, see, and there'd be thousands of other boats. These guys have got Coleman lamps. They're sitting out there in this green, murky water, fishing for crappies. And every once in a while, a rumor would get out that somebody caught a crappie at the other end of the lake. And 20,000 boats would move as a single boat and get around this guy, and you'd see nothing but boats. In fact, you could walk across the lake on the boats without even touching the water. I remember that Saturday night, we went down, we bought these minnows, we rented a rowboat, Zudok and Gertz were there. Zudok always had a black fuzz. He never shaved on the weekend. Whenever we went fishing, Zudok looked like he was wearing black sandpaper on his chin. So I'm a kid, you know, and I'm all excited. I'm sitting on the end of this boat, and I'm watching the men. And about every 10 minutes, Tiny Gertz would say to Zudok, "Hey Zudok, did you hear the one about the three-legged dachshund, the three Franciscan monks, the defrocked priest, and the bartender on Third Avenue?" And the old man said, "Shit, kid's listening." Oh man, that was a man's world. I'm sitting in the back of the boat trying to hear those stories, you know, and I'm fishing with my cane pole. And then came that night, sitting out there, and a crappie hit. And I hollered, "Hey, I got a crappie!" The old man fell over backward in the water, yelling and hollering. There was so much excitement, Zudok fell in and knocked the beer bag off the back of the boat. There was swearing and yelling, and for 20 minutes, the boat is rocking, fist fights. And of course, what happened instantly, 9 guys yanked their poles up. Have you ever seen 9 cane poles tangled in midair? Frogs and minnows flying around, bobbers, guys yelling. You can hear guys rowing boats from 3-4 miles away. You can hear oarlocks creaking. And I sat there in the middle of them. Oh, there, I got another weed. See, that's what happens when you talk. Well, I'll get it off. So anyway, I'm sitting there, see, in the back of the boat digging this thing. It was fantastic. Well, in the space of 20 minutes, we caught 47 crappies. The most crappies ever caught in that lake in one single night in the history of Cedar Lake fishing, which went back, maybe 10,000 years. 47 crappies. There were only 68 crappies known to be in the lake. Tremendous night. Well, 3-4 o'clock in the morning, I am one giant mosquito bite. I mean, well, you know what a mosquito bite looks like. I was a mosquito bite with feet. Giant mosquito bite. But I was happy. I'm telling you, it was out of my berg. We got back in the Oldsmobile, the pile of crappies. I don't know whether you've ever smelled a crappie that's lived inside of a Sinclair oil drum for 5 years. He is a game fish, man. That's a gamey fish. Well, we get back home. The first thing that happens, the old man runs into the kitchen. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. My mother's asleep. And she gets up, you know, and she shows up in the kitchen looking in there. You know, her eyes are puffy, and she's got these aluminum rheostats on her head. And she's got this rump-sprung Chinese red chenille bathrobe with a little petrified egg on a lapel. You know, she looks in. What's the matter? The old man is sitting there at the kitchen table. Zudok, Gertz, the whole crowd, they got the Ballantine beer out. They're having a fantastic time. The old man says to me, kid, and I said, yes, I'm a kid. Yeah. He says, kid, how about a sandwich? So they knock together a salami sandwich. I'm with the men, see. Then the old man says, look, you're a fisherman, right? I said, yeah. He says, get out in the back and clean the crappie. Have any of you ever cleaned 47 crappies in the backyard at 4 o'clock in the morning? There is nothing gamier than a crappie. And you ought to see what's inside of them. Well, I'm cleaning the crappies. I'm covered with scales. I've got this, mosquito bites all over me. There's 9 cats from the neighborhood have showed up, 2 raccoons and a dog. And within 5 minutes, I've got those fish cleaned. I bring them in. The old man looks at me and he says, nah, you're really with it. And I sat down. Of course, all that evening, they've been keeping the stories away from me. And I sat down at the kitchen table with a bottle of knee-high orange. It's 4 in the morning. Zudok looks across at Gertz. And Zudok says, hey, Gertz, did you hear the one about the blind umpire in the American League that had called 2 strikes on Luke Appling and a priest stood up back at third base? Did you hear that one? Well, Gertz says, no. The old man leans forward to hear it. I lean forward to hear it. Is there one man among you who at the age of 10 did not want to hear a dirty story? I lean forward, and the old man starts to listen, you know. Gertz is listening. Zudok is telling the rottenest, stinkinest story I ever heard in my life. As a matter of fact, some of the words he used, I still don't know what they mean. It's an incredible story. I knew I was hearing the real thing, see. And my mother comes to the door, and she says, there's a child listening. Big ears. You know, the one about the pitchers have big ears? The old man says, come on, leave us alone. Let the men alone. We're telling stories. At that instant, I knew. Not only was I not a kid anymore, I was a fisherman. Thank God the old man would flip if he saw me fishing in the Skowhegan branch of the Kennebec River. And by the way, he would appreciate this. All of his life, he did nothing but catch weeds. And I'm keeping on the family tradition. Yeah, I'll get this baby off yet. Oh, there it goes. Lost it. Well, things always work out that way. But by God, I know there are bass in that river. I also know, if you look carefully enough, probably on the bottom there is a Sinclair oil drum. It's kept specially for fishermen from Indiana who have traveled all the way to Maine.
Pounds on the boat. Frank Gleason hooking off. There he goes.
Yep.
Giving her quite a ride, isn't it? I think Frank figures while he's going, he better go.
Get up, Doc!
You know, the one thing about these tremendous horses, these great Percherons and Belgians, you can feel the ground actually shudder under your feet when they go past you. They're that big and heavy and strong.
Come in, Frank Gleason, followed by Trundy Brothers.
They pull this weight and they compete against each other, and all these different horses and all these different men know each other. It's like the World Series of man and animal pulling against this tremendous weight, and the people just sit and watch with their mouths open. Tremendous horses.
We're going to see some good driving here this afternoon, good pulling. I can assure you of that right now.
Smell them. Ooh. I always thought that horses had a bad smell.
Richard Wallace.
These horses smell like perfume. It's the perfume of life and power. Another thing about these horses is their presence. I mean, they have more presence than Hamlet. As a matter of fact, when Laurence Olivier walks out on the stage, he would be completely dead if old Bob would walk out on the stage. Bob, the champion weight puller of the Skowhegan Fair. He's got the look in the eye of a horse that knows what he's about to do. And not only that, a horse that does it. Everything looks bad in my life. life. I mean, when things are really falling apart and the memos are coming out of the air conditioning machine like monster's dandruff, driven out there, and the phones are ringing, I stop it all. I sit there for a minute. I look up at the ceiling. And I say to myself, Maine. Yeah, it's hard to believe it. Just take a deep breath and close your eyes. You smell that musty smell. The smell of old furniture. Moldy wallpaper. Last year's meatloaf. Smell that? It's hard to believe it. Just 400 miles from New York City. Times Square, 6th Avenue, Fun City. It's there. Oz, the yellow brick road. Repeat it to yourself now, right this minute. Say it to yourself. Raise your hand. Look up at the sky. There is a Maine. By George, there really is a Maine. And one day, I'm going there.